This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I'm feeling kind of bad for all the sex dolls out there right now.
Oof.
Yeah, you're right. I'm Brandy Posey, and I miss stealing from Victoria's Secret.
I'm Tess Barker, and not to be dramatic, but I'm about to shave my fucking head so I don't have to look at my roots for one more day.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
This is the show. Welcome to the show, everybody. Week, I don't know, 5, 10, whatever we're getting into here. We're so excited to have our guest on. We've had her on. It's been a long time, so we're really excited to have her back. She's hilarious. You know her from Criminal Minds. She hosts Whose Line Still in the quarantine. Aisha Tyler, hi!
Yay! Muppet
here.
Woo! Hey, hello. Hello from the undisclosed location.
Yeah.
How's
I know, we get to all feel cool. Feel like
I want to join in this joke. I want to join in your opening joke. I didn't prepare anything. I was like, I'm Aisha Tyler, and showering has become completely optional. I mean, like completely. Like I used to be like, I shouldn't inflict this on other people, and now I'm like, it's just me and my partner, and I'm like, oh man. I mean, this is what you signed up for, bro.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. I shower when like I become like offensive, not just to be considerate, but because like, you know,
yeah,
because for your own senses, you're like, all
right, for sure.
I need,
yeah. And I become one of those people who's like, the natural human fragrance is I'm not empowered. Like, who is that person?
It's all of us.
I'm either showering like once every 5 days or 5 times in 1 day. Like I also over showering quite a bit too, because I kind of have that like Kramer thing where like I think while in the shower.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking like a breakfast shower, a lunch shower, a dinner shower. But then I'll go a whole week and just my armpits.
Well, then you gotta catch up.
Yeah.
But when you're not going outside, all the stuff you typically do around the shower feels kind of superfluous, right? Like I'm washing my hair and I'm like, do I dry it? No, I don't. I just like to kind of stop around the house leaving footprints and, you know, staring
exactly.
into the existential void. And then I'm just like, why did I make all that extra work for myself when I could just stay dry?
Totally.
Yeah, it's exciting to see how greasy my hair can get. Like, I'm just discovering new things about myself. It's amazing.
Remember that article that came out a couple of years ago, and it was like, I stopped showering for a month, and here's what happened, because it was like that big movement, like, that, like, your natural biome.
Yeah, what all.
Biome, your natural bioway, whatever, the bugs on your body, that if you left them alone for a while, you would stop smelling.
Yeah.
People were like, not showering. That's a lie.
That's a total lie.
It is a lie.
Someone said that, and then they didn't have any friends to tell them they were lying.
100%. They're like, I smell great. I'm like, no, you just don't smell. You cannot smell yourself anymore. You
no.
Dead. Yeah.
Totally. No. No one likes you enough to tell you otherwise.
I don't know if this is just me, and it probably is, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I find that when I drink too much caffeine, which happens a lot, my sweat smells like weed.
These are the science experiments that we're conducting in this place, guys. And I am here for all of it. I'm absolutely here for all of it. That was fascinating piece of trivia that I'm just going to walk away.
No, wait. I think
coffee
we have to observe
weed out.
Observe
okay.
here that Tess smokes a lot of weed. So.
Yeah.
It could also just be that. That could be.
It could just be. I could just smell like weed.
So it could be the caffeine.
Yeah.
Oh shit, I smell like weed. Dude! And then she just exhales into Rona's head. This is so weird. Why do I smell like dope?
It's so shit's crazy.
Science.
I'm just thinking the caffeine is making you sweat more, so then the weed's coming out.
Yeah, that's true. You could probably get high if you open one of my veins.
Here's the thing. Everybody is just leaning so deep into substance activity, like,
yes,
just because you just have to break up the day. And I love coffee. I will never give it up. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not even going to sometimes I'll spit science. Like, it's good for you. It like saves off like degenerative brain disorders. Like, there's lots of reasons why you should drink coffee. I don't give a fuck. I love coffee. You can all die. I mean, not you three, but like, you know, other people.
Yeah. But the listener at home.
But I do find like I'm just going to the coffee maker just to like have something to do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, I'm like, you have to stop. So then I start drinking. So it's great. It's just poor man's 8 ball. You know what I mean?
The transition.
I feel like something kind of beautiful that's happening is like, finally, let's stop stigmatizing leaning on substances. They are getting us this. I mean, I have been drinking wine every week. I completely support
Oh my God.
I went to like a really rough patch maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. And I just, for about 6 months, was just like drinking like medicinally. I wasn't going out. I was just like, I would finish work. I would get home. I would make a giant drink. I was like, this was my therapy. And I would make like a double Negroni, and I would go sit on my porch and listen to music. I'd read a book.
Oh my God.
I'd smoke and I'd cry. And I got to tell you something. It was great. I missed that time in my life. It worked perfectly. Anyone who says alcohol doesn't work, just haven't used it properly. Okay.
Exactly.
It worked wonderfully.
Oh my God.
It was great. Great. I look back on that time with a fondness.
Yes.
With a deep fondness. I mean, it was unsustainable, but it was a good 6 months.
It's
I would cry and drink and smoke and breathe like a melancholy bus lifted by Bonnie Bear. I love it.
It's like a blanket for your soul.
Yeah, there you go. Dude, my Google Home is depressed because yesterday nobody was talking to it, and out of nowhere it just goes, sure, I will play Bon Iver on Pandora.
Oh, wow.
Out of nowhere. No one had said anything to it. And then it just started playing it. And I was like, I think my robot's going to kill itself.
Your Google Home is having its on the porch drinking moment. It's just out there being like,
absolutely.
Am I useful?
It was so, you know, I get it. I mean, tell your Alexa I said what's up.
I was literally sitting here, and then I just out of nowhere just started talking to itself, and it was like, I will play Bon Iver. And I was like,
yes, I will. I think I will. Thank you for asking. I think I will.
John, my husband, does this thing where like he likes to fuck with me, and he'll call Siri sweetheart. Like, he'll be like, thanks, sweetheart. And the other day I said sweetie, and Siri started listening to me. So our Siri now thinks her name is Sweetie.
Oh,
oh my God.
You guys turned your Siri into a unicorn.
They're supposed to learn. They're supposed to learn about you, your desires, the risks in your relationships, and exploit them.
Exactly. When Siri becomes the other woman.
You know, he calls me sweetheart. Are you going to tolerate that test? Are you going to put up with that? No? Okay with you?
Now playing Miranda Lambert.
You'll think again before you cheat.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
The only lyric. I don't know. I don't even know if that's Miranda Lambert.
No, it is. It's Carrie Underwood. Damn it. I always get the
same thing. Absolutely the same.
You guys think that now is a good time to key the cars of ex-boyfriends, or is it gonna,
no one's there's not going to be
gonna
around,
obvious.
Around to witness it.
No one's going to see you.
See you if you do it.
Yeah,
but they're
going to
be home.
True.
Yeah.
One of the biggest like fuckboys I ever dated, oh my God, had a girl did key his car, and like that felt very validating. To not have me have to do it, but just to see someone else hated him as that much to like.
Right,
do
right.
It.
Yeah, like, you know, he'd been like gaslighting the whole time. You're like, well, he is a dick. I get it.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you, Cosmo.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen this yet, but no, I guess I have seen it in a few friends that like they were saying that, you know, there's going to be, this is not wartime, obviously. I mean, it's a really intense time, and it's probably the only time in the history of the planet where the whole planet's been going through something collectively. I mean, there were like other pandemics and even global pandemics, but we never knew because we weren't interacting the way we are now, right? So like collectively, yeah, that's for the most part, the entire planet is experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's not quite wartime, but like everybody's under like a state of duress, right? Yeah. And so, you know, all the things that they were saying, you know, like wartime brides and wartime babies, but they were saying mainly like that all this being cooped inside is going to just result in a lot of breakups.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen like tension in any of the people around you. I find it delightful. I mean, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed to say that, like, because it is, you know, people are suffering and I'm not making light of that, but like, I really have been just praying my entire adult life for like a couple of months off.
Yeah, we have to
like do stuff. Yeah.
I always talk about that. I'm like, can we all take a break? And obviously, like you said, yeah, it's not like this is a break for many people, but never had a moment where so many of us were able to at least like put a pause on like the everyday anxieties of like all the shit we're trying to accomplish or whatever.
And we have other anxieties. Obviously, this is a really anxiety-making time and it's really stressful, but like you're like, I'm hitting pause on my life, but so is everyone else. So I'm not getting lapped. You know what I mean? And I don't want to like make a light of the fact that this is a really intense time and that there's a lot of people that are going through terrible, terrible.
Of course. Things. Yeah.
But it's just been interesting to kind of look at like, part of it. That's like, oh, I'm seeing my family and friends more, you know, digitally anyway, than I had when I was working all the time. And and like I've had a Zoom with friends of mine from college. I literally haven't spoken to them in like 25 years. I don't even know why we thought we needed to get together now, but we did.
Aww.
You know what I mean?
I love like, that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's really an interesting time.
I am feeling pressure though, because I'm like, this might be the one time in your life that you have this pause, so make it a good pause.
Well, but don't overpressure yourself, because I'm thinking that too. If I don't organize my fucking drawers now, they're never getting organized.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is my last shot. But I think also because there's so much stress and anxiety, it's entirely okay just to make it a time where you like try not to freak out, take care of your family, do what you can. You know, I've been without like sounding like a total jackass, like I've been trying to like do charitable work because I'm stuck at home. So if I can do that, at least there's some part of this that feels meaningful, you know. But I don't think there would be anything wrong for anybody just like making sure their friends and family are healthy and like that's all they get done during the time. Like I think that's an adequate way to spend.
Totally.
And you shouldn't feel bad about that.
It's kind of awesome because I think that's something that all of us will carry on like for the rest of our lives, because just whatever else happens with how much we make contact with these people, once things quote unquote get back to normal, we're always going to kind of have this new sort of foundation that we laid with our families and with these old friends and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of like a cool thing that's going on.
Yeah. And hopefully maybe we start and like start, oh God, I sound like such a greeting card. that there has been this collective experience that we start kind of being a little kinder to each other. I don't know. Probably not. People are assholes, but I don't know. Sometimes I fantasize about like just general, more like interaction and like even just like the guy, I just had a package dropped off and I don't know, like it just seemed like even the interaction with my family was a little different than it normally is. It wasn't kind of like, ooh, it was like, hey, you know, it was cool.
For sure.
That was it. But it was just a different.
Yeah, this shared experience, like you said, it's like literally the only thing, I mean, we have connections with everyone all around the world over this. And I've never experienced anything like that, you know? So it is a really unique position to be put in as far as like hopefully connecting with each other, especially after it's over.
Yeah. Well, and it's like slowing down, like having everything else forcibly slowed down gives you that minute to get out of your head to be like, oh, hey, FedEx guy, thank you. Cause I'm not thinking of 10 different things happening at once. Yeah. Exactly. At least it's been fun when my dog walks. Like I feel like the wearing the masks out in public is interesting because you want to, at least I feel like I want to acknowledge the people I'm walking past more. So I don't feel like I'm completely ignoring them because they can't see my face. So like everyone's kind of waving at each other in the neighborhood.
Yeah, people
a lot
waving
more.
And saying stuff like, I was driving home from picking up some food the other day and there was a guy walking, you know, on the sidewalk, like, it's good to meet everybody relax. I verbally just said, hey, you know what I mean? I just feel like when I like kind of connect with people and reassure them too, because you know, this is so mysterious.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. I don't think I said this last week. I was walking with my boyfriend, you know, been taking like long walks in the hills and stuff. And this guy, I don't know what I was talking about, but this guy slowed his car down next to us and looked out the window at me and said, "It's no longer a dream."
Oh my God. Is how you find out David Lynch is your neighbor. Okay.
I was just like, did he overhear me saying something? Did he think he knew me? Like, what the fuck just happened? It was so
bizarre. Going around doing that to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, that's beautiful because no matter who you say it to, it's going to make sense.
Right, yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's going to mean something different. Yeah, but it's going to make sense to everyone. That's amazing. That's exactly. Amazing. It's better than the end is nigh.
Totally.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, so if you're bored, be that guy, be that weird neighborhood guy that's just slowing down and saying weird shit to people.
Was he right? I will say... So I'm quarantined at my mom's house, which is in the suburbs, and I haven't been here since I was a teenager, and or like, you know, in any substantive way.
Like staying there, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so funny because I guess like my whole life I always felt like not an outcast, but loud. Like I'm tall, I'm loud, I'm like an intense person, which is why I went into comedy. But now it's even like living in LA, I just got used to it because everyone's weird in LA. And I'm like 5'11", roller skating around in like leopard print leggings, and I stand out like a fucking sore thumb here.
I love it. Live your motherfucking life, man. Show these people how it's done. How fun. The older you get, also like the more comfortable you are with being weird. Like I literally sometimes get dressed and I'm like, oh, this is just going to terrify people. I cannot walk out of that. I just want people to be confused by and fear me and not know what is going to happen next when I walk into the room. That's like a main goal of how I get dressed. Either I want to dress like a man. Yeah. Or I want to just dress like a, you know, like a crazy old vegan performance artist who shops in thrift stores and punches people on the street for not for their money, but for their shoes. You know, I just want to terrify people. I want them to be afraid to open their mouths when they
I love it.
When I was younger, I would be like, so like, oh, this is too weird, man. This is going to be weird. People are going to think I'm weird. I'm like,
But it's so fun. Like, that's the most fun part of getting dressed is, I don't know, I believe that anyone can wear anything as long as they believe in it. Like, I don't believe in fashion rules. Like, if you feel confident in it, you look good in it. And I think that's what's so cool about fashion. And what I love so much about drag and stuff like that is, like, there are literally no rules. It's all about how you perceive yourself wearing it.
Yeah, it all starts from the inside. Like, that you can wear anything as long as you believe in it. 100%.
It's so much more entertaining to see people like that too. Now I'm like, oh yeah, you're insane. Look at that crazy shirt. Oh yeah.
Totally. I will say that I kind of love the performance aspect of quarantine only because every time I just like my stomach is like the thing I'm always trying to cover up when I get dressed and now I'm like, well, this is it. I'm just shoulders up, baby. That's all.
Your shoulders are so foxy. You look amazing.
Yeah. Perfection.
So it's like I'm just like wearing like my best shirts and just being like, all right, I don't have to deal with sucking in at all. Fuck that. Be great.
A lot of lonely Spanx.
I'm a big like shirt with stuff on it. Like I'm one of those people like on my shirt has something written on it. So I'm always in my Zooms like tipping down the screen.
Oh shit.
That is amazing.
That rules.
I've been wearing the same pair of Lululemon tights for a month, but the shirts keep changing.
Absolutely.
So,
no one needs to see the bottom.
Yeah.
No, you know, there's no need to see the bottom. I just absolutely not. Our clothes the entire time.
Yeah. What are you guys doing like mask wise, fashion wise? Have you like just been whatever you can get or are you like actively seeking out any kind of masks to go with anything or?
I have like a duster mask thing that I got. It's so funny. I got it doing comedy at like a rave thing, you know, fucking years ago to keep dust out of your face while you're dancing at 4 in the morning.
Like the gator kind. Like a tube and you kind of pull it up, that guy?
Yeah, exactly. It's a tube. Yeah. So it's amazing. Oh. And it's great because it just sits on your neck. You don't have to like tie it or anything. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, well, thanks Alex Hooper for booking me to do acid in the desert 3 years ago. So now that I have, now I have a mask.
Yeah, that'll do it. man. Yeah, I've just got about 15 different colored bandanas because I feel like gay guys and punk women have been training for this their entire lives.
A different color depending on your mood or like what's your...
Yeah, it's a real mood ring situation. It's pretty fun. I look like a bandit everywhere I go.
I love it. You're like today I'm a power bottom. Tomorrow I'm a twink. Thursday I'm a leather daddy.
Exactly. I know. I need to get like a big cowboy hat to go with it so you can tell if I'm a good guy or a bad guy.
Yes. Chaps.
Yeah, exactly.
My sister is a prepper, like not even joking. Yeah, yeah.
And how smug is she right now?
Oh, she's feeling great. She's just waiting for all of us to come crawling back to her in her little prison hole that she lives in. She's like, it's coming. I'm like, okay, relax. But I don't know why, what happened in our childhood that we both lean that way a little bit, but like literally in 2016, and it's probably because we were both big readers when we were kids, because the parents didn't lean in TV. So, and I loved post-apocalyptic fiction, so that's probably just fused into my psyche.
Yeah, totally.
When Trump was elected, I built two like comprehensive go bags, like 4 years ago. Nice. So one for my place and one for my car, because I was sure he was going to get us into a war. I had everything. I already had everything. I already had like N95 masks and bandanas and gloves and sanitizer and wipes. Nice. All of it already. I have 6 months of dry food. Like,
really?
I think it might be like a year's worth of supply of dry food. Yeah, like I already had it all.
Oh, crazy. Hell yeah.
Who's crazy now, bitches? I
mean, no one can argue with you. You guys.
No, I mean,
no, yeah.
But when this all started going down, did you start dipping into that or did you like be like, yeah, okay, I'm going to resupply?
No, like the first week, like we did some grocery shopping and we did a little bit of, we didn't do any hoarding at all. Like I didn't feel anxious that way, but we just like bought a little bit more food than we normally bought. I like typically am one of those people whose fridge is always empty because I'm like, I never cook and I'm like, so like we shop like normal people, like there was normal food in their fridge. But when they were like, you need a mask, I was like, no, stand by. And I pulled two out and I just put them in the car. We weren't using them because they weren't staying them all the time. So I put them in the car. And then when they started, then I just got them out of the car and we've just been using them. And we've been reusing them. We're not being like profligate. I'm not a scientist, but like I've just been spraying them down with rub. Oh, I also had like rub. I mean, I had everything. I had like two things of rubbing alcohol.
That's amazing.
So I just am like wiping them down with rubbing alcohol and letting them dry overnight. And then we've given some to friends who didn't have any. And then I had ordered a box a while ago, and then when it started to be PPE shortages, I went online and I tried to cancel my order, but it was already in transit. So when then we got it, we donated it to a hospital.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome!
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
okay, cool.
But it's just really interesting because when I built the go bag, it was kind of built for like the most extreme outcome, which was not a zombie apocalypse. An earthquake,
yeah.
You know, where then all of a sudden there's no like first responders and there's no water for a while, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's useful in a bunch of different conditions, and mm-hmm. And it still is. You know, like once this is over, these kind of behaviors and measures will still be useful if there's another outbreak of coronavirus, or if there's a big flu outbreak, or if there is a natural disaster. You know what I mean? Like all this stuff will still be useful, and hopefully people will learn from this crisis, about like how to be prepared for something like this, mm-hmm. B, how to treat other people in a crisis, mm-hmm. and hopefully then they kick this absolute shit stain of a government out and get a real government in place that will then prepare for these crises, because that is actually the job of the federal government. This is exactly what a federal...
We should not be flailing out in the wind like this with everyone just freaking the fuck out, not knowing what to do. I mean, it's insane.
The federal government they're supposed to provide for the health and welfare and safety of the people. That is like literally their job. Yeah. And someone was saying like the exact crisis we're in, the only entity that could get us out is the federal government. Like when you have a giant financial crisis like this, like there's no entity, like there's no private entity that can step in and fix this. Like wake up. So in the meantime, because we have, infants, running the country, hopefully people will gotta prepare better and maybe like get to know their neighbors more, and like it's been nice to have all this stuff. We've given it like a lot of it away to
for
people,
sure,
because most people are like, oh, which I guess is just normal.
Well, because it's not like that's such, I think most humans are prone to putting shit off one thing or another. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the easiest thing to put off because that's the easiest thing. Yeah. Maybe it's in the back
of your mind. It's just a pain. You're like buying stuff for something that may never happen. And you're like spending money on shit that you may never use.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like anything. It's like cleaning the gutters out of the leaves out of the gutters or organizing your garage. Like who the hell wants to do that shit?
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
Yeah.
I will say though, I don't know. I feel like a lot of my, you know, rational friends have had the same reaction of like, we just can't watch Donald Trump talk, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's no point to it.
I don't know, but is there? Because I feel like there is no
point
to it.
You feel like you don't want to miss anything. Like, you don't want to miss, like, yeah, you want to make sure you're informed.
Yeah,
so you can, when it starts time to start setting things on fire and heating your trash can lid.
Yeah, because whether we do have to be like realistic, I mean, this shit is happening. Like, I watched his
press conference
and I was like, this shit is really fucking happening. Like, I can go weeks without listening to him, and then I watch him. I'm like, to a certain extent, I think we have to keep our eyes open and force ourselves.
It's actually not more of the same. Like, he is getting crazier and crazier and crazier.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but I get why people don't want to watch it. Talk about like existential dread. Like, literally, like, yeah. Part of the reason I have all this equipment was because when he got elected, I was like, oh, man, we're going to be in World War III in a few months. Oh, God.
Yeah, of course.
I think the Road 60, that was the crazy aunt response. So apparently, I'm everybody's crazy aunt. But, like, that was literally my response to him getting elected. And it's probably been worse than we could have predicted. Yep.
Yeah.
Upbeat comedy bit from
you know, good time.
Here on Lady Da
da da da da. Hey.
But maybe it just makes, you know, like also like we live in such a wealthy country, right?
Yeah.
So that's another reason why people procrastinate because we just think it's going to be fine. I can just DoorDash it. No biggie. Like I remember sitting down and I was like, I don't need to go to the store. I'm just going to go on Whole Foods. I'm going to just Amazon Fresh this shit to my house. And it was like, there are no delivery windows for the next 2 weeks. And I was like, we're just so used to getting everything we want right away. We become so accustomed to it. And that's like the beauty or the enjoyability of living in like, you know, the wealthiest country on the planet. But this has been a real wake up call that we're not bulletproof. You know what I mean?
No.
This isn't like a rock solid system and like basic shit that you really have come to expect. Like I order something on Amazon and it comes the next day. I go online to order, you know, shit from the Whole Foods and it's going to come. Or I go into the store and all the shit I want is going to be in there. And I think it's, you know, not in a negative way. I think maybe it's good. Like we're seeing where the vulnerabilities are and understanding that like, you know, it's not perfect and we have to be better about planning.
No, I mean,
and
it's also just like,
is everybody hearing that?
Yeah.
Babs, you just turned into a full robot.
I'm so lucky.
Oh no. Well, my Google Home's turning on right now. Like, oh, hey.
Google Home's like, did somebody say Bonnie Bear?
Please play Bonnie Bear. Okay, we have to take it.
It's better now.
Is it still? We have to take a break. Now. So someone do it.
Better,
okay.
Better.
Okay. Right back.
Oh, okay. We'll be back in a second.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm here with Aisha Tyler.
By Barney Bear.
just a casual Emmy. Is that an Emmy in the background?
It's so obnoxious, guys. I should move it. It's just
no. Perfect.
It's my prized possession. It's sitting in the back. It's really obnoxious. I'm sorry.
No. I love it. I think
Are
it's
you
great.
Kidding me? I love it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to shout it out.
It's great. It's just sitting there. You don't have like lights on it or like any like an arrow pointing to it or anything.
There's a light that kind of shoots up. I'm like, ah. I also have.
What else you got?
I got a World of Wonder Award.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Best LGBT ally.
Yes.
So, you know,
that's amazing.
That's really, really cool. Oh, that's so awesome.
Very sweet. So, yeah, that's my little collection of bits. But it's funny because like, this is just my office, but then every once in a while I'll be on a call, like on a Zoom, and I'm like, oh God, I'm such a
douche.
I'm just going to make a fake one to put behind me and see if anyone
calls. Good. Oh my God, like a really big one, like a giant, a human size.
And I'm like, it's real. It's just perspective. You guys are just
super casual, guys. Just super casual.
I'll have my boyfriend my dress bed. Up. One.
Yeah, one of those like Oscar men behind you. It'd be perfect.
That'd be amazing.
Oh my God, that would be a good group Halloween costume. You could be an EGOT.
That is fun.
That is a really, really good idea for Halloween.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That do is you guys fun. Think that your behavior is going to change after this? I've been really wondering about that. Yes. Like, just like, I was engaged in the most, as the lifestyle. The most risky behavior. Like, if you could just pick like riskier behavior for getting coronavirus, like it was just me. Like, I'm just like in a bar till 2 o'clock, hugging strangers. Like, my favorite thing to do is to go to West Hollywood. My friends were like, come away from there, because I'm like, listen to a stranger. I just want you to follow your jeans. I just think you should just stick it out. Like, everybody has ups and downs. Like, that's my drunk tale, is me just like entreating some total stranger to like stay here.
Absolutely.
Don't care about my believe in yourself.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
breathing into people's mouths.
Yeah, we've been to Magic Mike Live like 4+ times in the last 3 years. How? That's if that's a risky behavior. I don't know what is.
I went to UFC 248 the weekend of March 7th. So, like, that was like peak TV time. And that was when they were saying it only affects old people and like people with underlying conditions. So, just keep your hands clean and don't touch your face. That was that's what they were saying. Yeah. And in Vegas, they had put hand disinfectants everywhere. It was like at every door, at every elevator bank, everywhere. So we just, every year we saw it, we were just doing this. And I like literally was like getting handfuls of it and rubbing my phone down. I was doing all those things. I was also in a stadium with 30,000 people. And people fight. And we were like 3 rows from the octagon, and people were fighting, and blood was flying everywhere. And, you know, I mean, and then we went out for dinner afterwards, and we were like sitting like this close.
I'm recently having this anxiety as they're talking about opening things up. I'm like, I don't know if I'll feel comfortable. What am I can I really go to a restaurant now? Like, I don't know if psychologically I'm ready to like go to a bar, and agree, that's like my favorite thing to do. But I don't know, like, just talking about Halloween, I'm like, would I go to the Halloween parade?
That was what I was saying. Like, will we go back to those old behaviors? Like, will we go to Pride? Like, will we be like, someone was saying, like, would you go to Coachella? And I was like, I actually think I kind of would.
Yeah?
I would. I would. And it's so weird. Like, I wouldn't go stand in front at, like, you know, for a set or something like that. But, you know, it's a big, like, it's a really big spread out place. Like, you probably wouldn't have to be 6 feet from somebody if you didn't want to be. It's like I wouldn't go to like a nightclub. Like, I might not go to a nightclub performance, right? Like, be jammed with like 500 people, like, in a tight crowd. But I would go to like an outdoor thing for sure.
No, but do you guys mean like just in general?
In general.
Like, or do you just mean before we get a vaccine? Like, or is this after we have a vaccine, you wouldn't go to something like that?
Right. I see what you're saying. I just feel like this fall, right? Like, when we kind of think like think there might be like a resurgence in the fall. But let's just say that they were like, the peak is over. Like, would you? I think I already had it, honestly. I know everybody and their mother keeps saying but I really think I already had it. Yeah. Like, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, we were like engaged in like super risky behavior right up until the quarantine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, not risky in the grand scheme of things, but risky in this context.
Well, yeah, with these new rules.
Had a friend's birthday party in a bar, like dark and underground. And like, at first, I was like being really careful. And then by midnight, again, I was like, I love your jacket. I mean, you guys are the best dressed people here. Like,
where's your hair? I want to lick your heroin needles. Where are you?
Come on. Your arms, where I can smell your armpit. Like, your natural scent is really.
Sweat into my glass. I want to put salt around it. Come on.
that's the margarita. I didn't know I needed.
So, just a glass on an armpit, and then put it in salt.
And then, like, I had a couple of nights, like, really. This is such a long and boring story.
No,
I was like really, really cold on the couch. So I had like a blanket on, and I went and got in bed. I was like, man, I'm just so cold. So I put like 3 blankets on the bed. And then I woke up in the middle of the night, like just drenched, like not a little bit sweaty. You know, that drenched where you're like, like I am soaking wet. And I just thought, okay, just I had too many blankets on the bed. And that happened for a couple of nights. But then like what happened was like a month later, I woke up and I was like, I'm not cold now. Nothing has changed. I haven't changed the temperature in the house. It, like, it's all, everything is the same. The conditions are the same, but I don't have the chills and I'm not having a night sweat. And, you know, at first I was like, maybe I'm going through perimenopause, but it was just one of those things where, and I had like a little bit of a sore throat. Cause I was saying like, there's a spectrum, right? People have like different symptoms. And then my dude, he lost his smell for 3 days. I should have led with that.
Oh, that is part of it.
Was, they weren't saying was a symptom that back then. So no one was really mentioning it.
Wow.
So we'll see.
Yeah, a lot of people feel like they did. So it's like, yeah, it's scary. I mean, you're right. I don't think I would if they said like, hey, everything's fine, go back to normal. I don't think I will for quite a while, you know, until we get back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm supposed to, there's a festival in Gainesville, Florida that I'm like one of the comedy headliners for in October over Halloween weekend. And they're like, yeah, we're on. And I'm like, those are small punk venues. I don't know how I feel about
that. I think 2020 is like canceled, man. I think it is canceled.
Yeah. Well, you know what's crazy? I think I've talked about it before, but this keeps tripping me out. So one of the magazines that I write for at the beginning of the year had me talk to 6 different psychics and an astrologer. And all of those people told me this shit was going to go down. All of those people. How fucking crazy is that?
What did they say?
What did they say?
Pretty much like they all told me some different version. And this is like 2 days before New Year's. I'm like interviewing these people. It's right after Christmas. I'm like in the Christmas spirit. And these psychics are like, this is going to be a year where like the kind of like main thing they were telling me is like, people don't understand like how bad they need to really feel the pain of how bad things are with like the Trump administration and stuff like that. Like people are going to understand that they're not immune to what's going on. And this is going to be a year where everything gets burned down and we're going to have to completely reestablish all of our new systems. And they were like, this is like a phoenix rising from the ashes. And that's going to be in 2021. And 2020 is just going to be the year that we develop much more empathy for each other because we understand how implicated we all are in everything, but it's going to have to get so bad in order for that to happen that it's going to be a really rough year. They all told me that. Isn't that crazy?
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
But the
I mean, that's the thing is like I've been able to handle this time because we are in like a time of year where it's there's not a ton of holidays and like with families, but like it would be very, very tough around Christmas and stuff like that to really be like, fuck, like I'm not seeing my nephew and all that stuff. So I'm able to handle it right now, but that would be very, very hard.
If there gets to be more widespread testing over the year, the problem is if you don't have it and you haven't had it and you test negative, you don't really know what you can do.
Yeah.
If you think you have had it, there's a different test, right? The serological test, which is like starting to be available now.
Right.
And you know, it's literally like everybody either you know that you came in contact with someone and they had it, so you might have confidence that you've had it, or you had some symptoms, not a lot of symptoms, and you took the serological test and you know you've had it. Then you might have more confidence about interacting with other people. I guess the thing they don't know now is whether having had it, if you confer like permanent immunity or temporary immunity, right? Because like we get the cold and we get over the cold, we still get a cold again. When you get the flu, you get over the flu mutates, so you get a different flu the next year. But right now they're saying that this virus doesn't mutate that much. So it's possible that if you have it and get over it, that you might never get it again. Or if you do get it again, it might be very mild. So if you all took that test and you knew you had had it, then you might feel more confident about going around your family. Because like, I think I have it. I'm gonna get this serological test in a week. If I find out I did have it and I recovered from it, then I can say I can't give it to you and I can't get it from you. So I could probably operate on a different. I could probably just start doing things differently. And I at least could feel confident doing that. Like for the rest of the year. Until maybe there's another spike, and then by the fall they'll know. They probably will be able to say, oh yeah. Serological immunity, you probably can move freely and you're not going to give it or get it from anybody. But they have had a few people test negative and then test positive again. And they don't know if it means that they've caught it or just that it went down to like undetectable levels and then built back up again, which seems like the more likely of the two things. Either way, holy shit, man, human beings, we're just big, dirty animals.
We really are. And like, I'm listening to a Deepak Chopra book right now, and he talks about how we're just like balls of gas that as we walk, we leave like, we're not even like solid form. As we walk, we just leave like particles of gas behind us. Isn't that trippy? Yeah.
Some of us more than others, you know what I mean? Hey.
Some of us leave a scent of weed sweat as we walk.
Yeah. I mean, I want you to go back. I want to like literally follow you with a camera so that I can like, you kind of roller skate by and you sorry, rollerblade by in your leopard print.
No, nope, roller skate. She's skating.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And then see a crowd of like 20-something bearded guys kind of fall into your like wake, just sniffing like Bugs Bunny, that cartoon with her. She's floating in the
air. Yeah, they're like floating.
Yep. Tess is the high piper. It's great.
The high piper.
Yeah, the high piper.
I need that on a jacket.
I will say it's a relief that they've made weed stores an essential service, because I'm taking my mom to the weed store today, and I really do think that as many things as we can point to that are depressing us and making us feel like the world hasn't improved, one of the things that's happened that's very good is that the dope is legal and I can take my 74-year-old mom to go buy pot.
That's beautiful.
There are some good things happening in the world.
Honestly,
I need to go to the weed store. I need to go to the weed store.
I feel like having a parent that you can take to the weed store is the closest thing I can identify to people that have kids of their own, because it's so cute to watch through their eyes. I love it.
I totally agree. It's adorable. The first time, my mom just moved here a little while ago, and it was like right after became legal, and this is not an ad for MedMen, but the MedMen stores are like very fancy pot stores here in California. Yeah, yeah. It's like the Apple store for dope. And it was Mother's Day. I took my mom and my sister and my sister's wife. They're all mothers. And I took them and bought them like as much dope as they wanted. And my mom just kept going, when I was young, I could buy it from a strange man in a dark alley. She just couldn't believe how exciting it was. She bought so much. I spent so much money. And it was embarrassing. I bought so much dope. And they were just like, gummy this and cookie that. And the dope water. And then we decided to eat gummies and go see A Quiet Place, which was a great idea, guys.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
That's a great idea. Really great idea.
I'm going to have to make that a goal. That'll be my post coronavirus goal, will be taking my mom to a weed store because she lives in Salt Lake. So once they come, we're able to hang out and she comes visits me, God, I would love her reaction. I would love to see what the fuck she does inside. I can just see her peppering them with the questions that have nothing to do with anything about the weed for like hours.
Exactly.
Take her to, there's not a lot of really fancy, there's a place called Sweet Flower. There are a lot of really fancy places here, but it's the fancy dope stores that are like really bewildering because they're like beautiful and angular, and like there's just like rows of, and then there's a little like lit case, and it's just like different buds inside of it. I mean, you have died and gone to heaven.
It's wild.
It's the future
anymore. I quit a long time ago, and then when it became legal, I was like, "Hey, I'll be dope again." I was like, "Oh no, I don't like this feeling at all."
You just like the stores.
Love to go to
it's just
I like
so
to,
strong.
I'm a purveyor of joy. I buy it for other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun
present.
I need really, really
not strong weed because it gives me anxiety. There is no option anymore. Like, I'll go in and be like, what's the least intense one you have? And it's still way more than I can handle. So,
right. Like, what's the least intense
I need to meet the guy in the alleyway. Yeah. I need the alleyway guy.
You just need some oregano.
They had to put some rules in place. I don't know if you guys noticed, when they first did it, there were a couple of brands that were like crazy strong, and they actually had to reduce the dosage because people were just getting like super high showing up in the hospital. And you can't, I don't think you can really overdose from dope. Again, I'm not a scientist, but you can feel like you're overdosing. Yeah. You can feel like
feel
like
shitty. It's not going to actually make you feel do like something it. To you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I've told the story.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is just a funny story that happened to another person, but she had those fucking weed sodas or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what they were called, but they were like crazy, like 100 milligrams per, you know, thing. Mm-hmm. And she had them in her garage, and her dad was like working in the garage and got thirsty and found one and he drank it. And then he was like, oh man. Oh, I'm so thirsty. I should drink another one. Drink another one.
Oh, no.
He had no idea what they were. And then he ended up in the hospital because he didn't know what the fuck was going on with him. And they had to call her.
Imagine you're super high and you have no idea that you're super high. You would be like, I'm dying. Yeah. I am dying.
Yeah.
I'm too cool. Yeah. Oh no.
Oh. Yeah. Like
her friend had like dope lemonade in her fridge and she did a workout and she just like pounded a dope lemonade.
Jeez.
And she was just like, duh. Not a good feeling.
No, not so bad.
The last few times I've gotten high because I stopped smoking. So I had taken like an edible or I did something that I kind of forgot about and thought was mostly THC, but I didn't realize had, you know, weed in it too. Not THC, whatever it is.
CBD.
And so I took them and I was like acting really weird like an hour later. And I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you're high.
Wasn't that at my bachelorette party?
There was one there where I was at brunch and someone had given me a CBD thing, but it was not just CBD. And I started being like, I think I'm going to hire an escort. I'm going to hire a male escort.
support, cosigning, just supporting you in your choices.
And then girl was like, and then I'm like, oh, I'm high as fuck. Like, I didn't like, realize what was going on.
It's a brave new world.
I still think it's a good idea. That would be another fun thing is we could hire someone and go to Palm Springs for the weekend.
Ooh, I really want to go to Palm Springs.
Are we getting a male hooker and going to Palm Springs?
Yeah.
There we go.
We'll give him the test. We'll give him the test.
Yeah. Yeah, but you just like that. That's what needs to happen. They need to have like escorts that can also give out the coronavirus test, and then if you pass, then you get a lap dance. Oh. I'm just
right.
This is a new business idea.
I'm on the pole. You're CV free. Now I'm on you. No.
Yeah. Exactly.
It might, but like maybe you could go like I'm not pitching that you should go do your show, but you could do a show where like you got to the place and you know you didn't touch anything and then you went out on stage and then you came back. Like people, they kind of like did the seating where they were like people were a little bit further back from you. I mean, I do remember the thing you would have to get rid, like I used to do meet and greets after all my shows. And just the number of fans that were like, not intentionally, but just spit in my mouth, spit in my eye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was just a common, like, they're nervous and they're sweaty and they're blah, 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 and they're just like all of the food.
Yeah,
like, that's the end of that. That's over forever, I think.
Well,
it's the intimate meet and greet.
For sure. Well, and it's funny because it's like, if I get riled up on stage, I will like spit a little bit. And I'm like, you know, always a little bit self-conscious of it. And I'm like, oh, cool. Now I'm going to be real in my head about it now.
Right. Oh, yeah. Exactly. I ignore it always. I'm like, I spit. No one will ever, I will never acknowledge that.
I'll never acknowledge.
Someone else that was up here just a minute ago. That wasn't me. But the microphone, they're always disgusting. And I wonder if you would just bring your own microphone or if you would like bring your own microphone cover and then you just come out and like throw that put yours on. Microphones have always been disgusting.
Oh,
have you ever
man.
Been doing a set and like you accidentally touch your face with it or your mouth and you're like, oh God.
Yes. Oh. I thought it was
like, get a whiskey and just pour it all over my face and like swish. And so disgusting.
So nasty.
I don't get sick very often and I think it might be because of this microphone.
Oh, maybe. Because
you're just encountering germs so much.
I've built up my immunity from open micers. Put it in my mouth.
And the hands. I mean, it's filthy. That's a filthy, that is a filthy endeavor. Some disgusting coop just did a really sad 5 minutes right before you. And then here you come, well, you're brilliant. And you have to touch his bad comedy term. Cultural, feminist, incisive commentary. And he's ruining your set. With his, Pornhub. With his
I wish I could say that my comedy was much better than that, but I think it's pretty. You're giving me a lot of credit.
We're all working through it.
Yeah, we're working it out. It's all good.
We have to take a quick break and then come back. And obviously, we're very good people to give advice, so we can give advice. I think we've proven that.
BRB, guys.
Hi, everybody.
everybody. Welcome back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess. I'm here with
Aisha. Can you hear me, guys? Can you?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Yay.
Okay, good. Okay. Cool. Yay.
My internet has been, all the internet everywhere has been a little wobbly. So my
I know. It's all getting clogged sometimes.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. People are watching.
We're back to normal.
Porn and Zoom meetings are really taxing this bandwidth.
Have you guys been in a Zoom that got porn spammed yet?
No, not yet.
No, I've seen a lot of it online, though. I've mainly seen the ones where, like, someone stands up and they have no clothes on, or their boyfriend is back in the back and has no clothes on. Those have been really fun. I've enjoyed those.
I'm feeling like FOMO that I haven't gotten like spammed by any like.
Well, also now they changed the security settings, so it's like likely never going to happen now. You know what I mean? Because it used to be that it was essentially like an open format and anybody could sign on, and now like you have to be admitted into the Zoom by the administrator, so now it's like completely controlled, which is good because like I mean we all like dicks and stuff. Well, not all of us like dicks. Some of us like vaginas, and some of us like both. My point is, I would like to choose when I'm looking at dicks and vaginas.
Yeah. Exactly. Consent's important.
We had Maria Bamford on the show last week, and we were talking before we started recording, but she said one of her shows got bombed, and she was just like, and I just saw it. I'd never seen anal sex before, and there it was. She was like, I haven't seen a penis that size. And it was just a really...
like, to Maria.
Also, there's that guy. There's all the stuff that, with that one porn guy with the giant penis that's been going around. Mm-hmm. And I remember the years and years and years ago, like a co-star of mine on a show, like sent everybody on the show like a link that was like, oh, there are road closures in LA, and like click the link to see if they affect your area. And it was that picture that got in the dick. And I was so offended. I was like, this is like onset sexual harassment. And now I fucking love that guy. And every time like I click every link with enthusiasm, hoping that guy is going to be on the other side. He is so entertaining to me. I bought a t-shirt with his face on it. I can't wait for it to come.
Wait, what? I don't know who this guy is.
He's a big, really big black guy. His penis is like the size of a baby's arm. It's massive.
Oh my God.
He's just been this meme now about, he's been a coronavirus meme, and it's just everywhere. And if you just Google like black eye, big dick, coronavirus.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking
of.
I saw, the reason I was jealous is because someone told me that they got spammed. It was like a picture of all these doctors, and then they photoshopped it.
There's so many. And the sad thing is that he's dead, and I really wanted to see how famous he got.
No.
I think he was just toiling in porn obscurity, and then he passed away, and now he's a world superstar, and he'll never know. It's really
sad. Oh, holy shit.
And he has a sad look on his face. Like, he knows that with a penis like that, there weren't a lot of options for him in terms of like, job opportunities. Like literally, he was born to go into porn. He's like, guys.
Yeah, he followed
I just looked him up. He has a really sad look in his eyes. He's very soulful.
He's like, guys, if I had long legs, I would have been a long jumper, but I've got this long dick, and so I'm a porn star. I'm just doing what I can.
You know how, like, big boobs hurt your back?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. a dick like that has to hurt somewhere.
That is a serious penis, yo. That penis is why it's flaccid, guys. That is a flaccid penis.
Oh, man.
That's like, gotta be a burden. I mean, I just can't.
A burden.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I just wish he could see, like, people love this guy. Like, he's become like an international hero, and you never get to see how much joy he has brought.
I mean, I hope, you know, I'm not religious, but I hope he's looking down on us from heaven with his giant dick.
I really hope so too.
Yeah.
Aww.
I mean, God bless his name is Wood.
Aww, yes.
Of course it is.
I wanted to call him King. I was calling him King. My friend's like, his name was actually Wood.
Here's King Wood.
King Wood. Oh, he needs to have. Oh.
Yeah.
A crown.
So, like, King Dicks. Wood. He needs a crown.
He does. She's writing it down.
I really am writing it down.
Oh yeah, Aisha, tell us about Courage in Stone and what you guys are doing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so this is a thing I've been working on for a really long time, since like 2015. We're finally to market, which is like, you know, strange and unusual in this time, but it's a line of ready to drink cocktails. They're not mixers, they don't have to add anything, they just come ready to drink, and they're top shelf, no stabilizers, no like corn syrup, no artificial colors, like Whole Food compliant. And the great thing is, people are stuck indoors, and so you can order these drinks at your house, and you can have like top shelf cocktails in your home, especially if it's something that you like to do, but you don't really know how to make them. And it really came out of the fact that I was one of those people. Like, I would go, I'd be on the road doing stand-up, and I like, my big thing was to go to a good bar when I'd be in a different city, and I'd get home, and I'd want a great drink, and I didn't know how to make it, and I didn't have the ingredients to make it. So I started kind of teaching myself, because I'm, like, a big, I mean, we all talk, you know, I like to drink, but I am quality over quantity kind of person. I don't want to pound, like, seven light beers. I want to have, like, something good. So I started making them at my home myself, like, in bottles, so I could just pour out a cocktail when I wanted one instead of having to, like, make a big mess every time. And that was really where it started. And it's been really fun. It's taken a long time. But we have this amazing distillery in Brooklyn. They're really small. Like, we really wanted to keep this, like, a really, like, you know, kind of like a cottage style company where we were distilling, which is this little small batch distillery. We call our spirits, and we make everything there. And we're, during the quarantine, 30% of everything we're making is going to support the U.S. Bartenders Guild, which is essentially like a loosely formed union that represents bartenders, because obviously there is no union for bartenders. But for a lot of restaurants, they're able to stay open, and they're able to keep, like, their, you know, their servers and their cooks and stuff. But, like, there's bartenders can't work right now. There's just no way for them to make money. So it's just to keep these guys from, you know, going under. And because it all came out of my love for bars and bartenders, it's been nice to give back to that community. But you can just order it. It's at ChristianStone.com. It will be booze FedEx directly to your home. And in LA and New York, you can get it delivered on Drizzly and Mini Bar, and also Cano Wines is delivering in California, and Bottles and Cases is delivering in New York. But you can get it shipped anywhere in the country at PersianStone.com. And it's been a really fun thing to do. I mean, it really, I think a lot of times when famous people have a booze, it's like they're a spokesperson, but this is something I really developed, like, in my home by myself. I did a lot of
that is amazing. Yeah. Cause a lot of times people will, like, slap their name on something or whatever, but, like, this is obviously something you,
this was my baby. So and cool. I spent 2 long years traveling and drinking, and then day drinking in my office. And then, and then seriously, I don't know, I had a breathalyzer, and I was going to sit here till I'm legal to drive.
That's amazing. In my office
until 1 a.m, blowing on that breathalyzer until I was legal to get back.
I love like your Emmy next to a breathalyzer.
I'm all about utility. I'm a worker. Okay, and then I found a partner to back the company, and it's just been like it's been a real passion project of mine. Mm-hmm. And you know, and also there's not a lot of women in this space. Yeah. So it's also important to me that people know that this is something that I really developed personally. And also to appeal more to a kind of like a more thoughtful way of drinking, which is, again, like I said, like quality over quantity. Like, you really want a great drink when you get home. And I used to get sick of coming home, and there was like a third of a bottle of like Sed Sauvignon Blanc in my fridge. So this was like my answer to that. It's like, you can have a real drink, you know, and it can be something that's, you know, made from good ingredients and not garbage.
That's awesome.
Totally. Yeah. Makes sense.
Like, especially I feel like right now, like you said, quality over quantity, like when you're talking about like just having a book and a nice cocktail, like there's something. So I think that, that can be such a mindful kind of like nice way to kickstart the night. And like,
exactly.
Just like the dream combination, like have a good album on, read a book, have a cocktail.
And I think that goes back to what we're saying at the beginning, which is like, you know, everybody's anxious. Everybody's feeling, you know, a little crazy and unsettled about what's going on now. And it doesn't have to be that you get your house perfectly organized and you rearrange all your furniture and you clean everything. It can just be that you spend a lot of time, like, taking care of yourself mentally, making sure your friends and family are healthy and safe. Mm-hmm. And if part of that is you should soothe yourself, however you soothe yourself, you should be able to do that. You know, I mean, in the end, your mental health has to be your first priority, because the rest of it is going to work its way out, and you have to be able to, you know, put your own mask on and then put on masks on others. And if a part of the way you put your mask on is that you don't shower and smell like dope all the time, then that should be the way that you take care of yourself.
Exactly.
You heard it here.
So anyway, Persianstone.com, and I'm doing these happy hours every Tuesday and Friday that are also focused on a different COVID-focused charity. We've done the International Rescue Committee, the Red Cross, Feeding America. We just did Direct Relief, which provides PPE to first responders and doctors and medical workers. And I just make a drink and people hang out with me and I just answer questions. And then I promote it to my charity. I make a donation. I encourage people to make a donation. So that on Tuesdays and Fridays on my social. So just trying to find a way to just price some kind of goodness out of this time. And I think there are good things going on everywhere.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
makes sense. I started making like little travel hand sanitizers. And like, I just have a couple of them in my bag whenever I'm like walking to do whatever. And I've just been giving them out to like homeless people in my neighborhood.
That's awesome.
Just that putting them really down great. And then walking a few feet away.
Well, I know, like, that feels right.
Yeah.
That feels like, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I gave some guy money the other day, and I had one, and he took the other. He's like, we had an agreement. We're like, we don't need to touch.
Here you go.
I'll be over here. You coronavirus, bro. I'm riddled.
Yeah, exactly. It feels good to like know that I'm like a biological weapon. Like, it's very empowering to be like, oh my God, girl.
For real, last night I was walking, because my mom's neighborhood is like really dark at night. There's no street lights here or anything. It's very rural. Mm-hmm. And I was walking my dog at like midnight last night, and I came upon a guy, which like normally if I was alone, like in the kind of a quiet neighborhood and there was like a man walking across to me, I would feel, you know, you have that quick moment of fear.
Yeah, you get like touched. Yeah,
I did not have that, you guys. I was like, this guy is not coming anywhere near me.
Near me. Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. I got something for you right here.
cough, motherfucker. Come at me.
Oh my God. Just for the rest of your life, when anybody of any like kind of ill intent comes in, just wipe your nose like.
Exactly.
Ah, yeah. Come on.
Bring it on in, baby. See what you got.
Bring it. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for doing the show. Aisha, you're awesome.
That's a pleasure, guys.
Yeah, it was so good to see you.
I loved it. Thank you. Everybody stay safe.
You
enjoy.
Too.
Take your mom to buy some dope.
And one more time, where's all your socials at? Just so people can
Instagram, FaceTime. Hi, guys. I've been in here a very long time. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter are all just Aisha Tyler, one word, AISHATYLER. And then my food company is Courage and Stone, like, you know, the Courage, and then a rock, courageandstone.com. And and my happy hours are on Tuesdays and Fridays. If you just come to my socials, I typically announce it, and we all make a drink together and have a little together.
Hell yeah.
That's so sweet. I love it.
Yeah, thank you. And shout out to, you know, we had some new people join the Patreon. You're fucking awesome. If you want to check that out, you can go to patreon.com/ladytolady for more info. And we get it. It's a hard time for everybody right now. So, you know, if you can't join, if you want to leave us a review or share it with a friend, that like helps us out too. So
yeah, absolutely. Reviews are free, and we know you have time, you guys. So there's no excuse.
Go tell us, go over there and write that I tell boring stories. Okay, you fucking asshole. Okay, I'm really concentrating on the one mean review.
Like, I was really specific, so it was a targeted statement. Okay. Make your own podcast.
Seriously, though.
I must go make your own. Fucking big. Yeah, seriously.
And thank y'all. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at ladytoladycomedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.